Hello and welcome to Gilead. My name is Soren Hodshire. I'm the comms and admin hoss here, and we're so glad you could join us. Gilead is a queer storytelling bar church, and this past Sunday, January 21st, was our anniversary. 7 years, that is. Anniversary slash birthday. Who knew how lovely it could be, being surrounded by community, by all the amazing people. We wouldn't be here today without the storytellers, without everyone here helping out. And this past Sunday, Rebecca gave a sermon, and it might be a little bit more Bible-y than usual, but I think you'll enjoy it. So sit back, listen, and enjoy.
Samuel was done. From the time he was a little kid growing up in the temple, he had been game. Dutiful, respectful, eager, Samuel ran to the bedside of his mentor, cum de facto parent, when he thought he heard him calling in the middle of the night. And when it turned out to be the voice of God, he was just as responsive. Yes, God, I hear you, God. Put me in, God. When what God had to say turned out to be terrible news for that same mentor slash father figure, Samuel was afraid, but willing to share what he knew. As he grew up, both God and other people liked him. He was trustworthy. He was a circuit rider from place to place to place, where he served as a judge. He administered justice. And when he got old, he was still at it, like a little slower, but dutiful, respectful, more effective in some ways, thanks to his long practice, slower to speak out in anger or condemnation. When he was old, the people who were his responsibility wanted something new, something different. And hurt as he was, displeased as Samuel was, dutiful and respectful, before he said a word to them, he went first to his prayer practice. And like many people who practice mindfulness or meditation or prayer, he found out it's not really about you. God asked him to go back to and listen to the people who, after all, Samuel loved. To listen to them, to continue to advocate for them, and ultimately to do what they wanted, even though he knew it was a bad idea. He was still game. He did everything that God asked, and he was measured about it, and wise, and non-reactive. He had done all that for years. And finally, he was done. He had put in his time, he had done the work, he had anointed a new kind of leader for the people, and he had even, and this was going above and beyond, but it also just came naturally to him, he had even come in his own ways to love this new leader, who was a militaristic, good-looking, battle-winning, hothead Saul. But be all that as it may, Saul was in place and Samuel's sons were around, although everybody agreed they were not that great. Everyone agreed that Samuel had done a good job, he hadn't cheated anybody, and Samuel himself was ready to wrap this thing up. In his farewell address, he had a farewell address, he threaded the needle between being pastoral, but also threw in a dash of prophetic critique. He threaded the needle between promising to keep advocating for them and warning them what would happen if they really screwed up, but he gave a farewell address. He was done, retired, mostly, except for like one or two kind of contractor gigs for Saul and or God. Otherwise, done. This sermon is not my farewell address, Krista. Don't panic. This service is no one's farewell address, like, as far as we know. You know what I mean? Like, I wrote down, is this too ominous for a celebratory service? Maybe, probably. The point is, you never know. The facts of life. The facts of life are this, that we've come a long way, baby, from what, where, whoever we were 7 years ago. People we loved have died. Wars have started or started again. We have become a church. We have met and been in deep relationship with people who might regret they were ever part of this community. We were on the Today Show. There was a global pandemic. You broke up, you got together, you discovered better pronouns for yourself. There was an insurrection, depending who you talk to. We hired Adam. He pretended he was gonna quit that one time. There were lots of babies born, and I started to name them, but I was afraid I would miss someone, and I'm so glad I didn't. We made beer, and at one of the related beer release parties, Amber's water broke. Yay! We made a theologically informed pinup calendar. Woo-hoo! We had a party on a CTA train. Woo! We had conflict among the leadership. We had that amazing service when Kay and I co-preached about the cross and sexual violence, and Jeanette told a story even though it was only like her second time here. Student pastors came and went and got married and or ordained and or became chaplains. We took care of our aging parents, who were suddenly aging so much faster. We had an Easter dance party, y'all got new names, our dang kids moved back home, our dang kids finally moved out. We had a big Christmas and Hanukkah party, thank God, because that's where we met Lucas, even though everyone thinks he's been here much longer. We had church at / closed down like 5 small businesses. Y'all lived in like 5 different apartments in 3 different cities. We raised and gave and wrote grants for something truly like a total of $750,000, like all sources, all years. We stopped drinking. We doubled down on that shit. We hosted comedy shows and a burlesque Easter service. We started getting high. We joined the Lighthouse Foundation and the Coalition of Accomplices for Racial Equity. The fucking cops kept killing black and brown people. Again, we started a show. We lost the space. Again, we told maybe 700 stories was the math they came up with, but I think it's low. I got 7 years closer to my Eileen Fisher phase. We had several marginally legal public fires. The poet Ross Gay stood us up, and then he made it up to us. We sent our pastors on sabbatical. Thank you very much. We had 4 telethons, 1 auction, a bunch of meals, 1 Fat Tuesday giveaway, a bunch of smack dab donuts, 1 movable feast pilgrimage so far. But that, beloveds, that's just backstory. Saul was a hothead from the jump. But it's maybe not a bad trait in a leader who's trying to lead in the middle of a bunch of dangerous, aggressive neighbors. People who despise the people that he and Samuel and God loved. Neighbors who would deny them the right to exist. But the thing that turned out to be a deal breaker for God was that Saul, unlike Samuel, was not dutiful, respectful, or eager to listen for a voice that might turn out to be God's. Samuel, watching from the sidelines of semi-slash-mostly retirement, grieved over everything that had happened. After so much good, hard work, what a fucking waste. And that is where the story starts today. Samuel thinking, what a waste. Actually, first, a little more backstory. Okay. When Saul first became king, God brought him to Samuel. Samuel didn't have to go anywhere, didn't have to discern anything. God first told Samuel, who, dutiful, close listener, that they, God, were sending him a young man, and all Samuel had to do was receive him and bless him, which, of course, dutiful, respectful, eager, Samuel did. Standing in an empty street, early in the morning, just the two of them, Samuel opened his little prophetic, like, animal's horn of sacred oil, and he poured it on Saul's head, and he kissed him. It wasn't his idea, but now that it was happening, this now and newly greasy young man was God's own chosen, and so he was somebody Samuel loved too. So his hand still on Saul, still oily from the anointing, said, "You're going to be king." And now the special horn, hollowed out and long-capped and empty, sat on the prophet's shelf, behind Samuel, where he sat in his rocking chair, or whatever the right and non-anachronistic metaphor is for earned comfort and repose. This is where the story starts today. God, sorry they'd made Saul king in the first place, cut God's losses. And he said to Samuel, "How long are you going to grieve over Saul? Fill the horn with oil and set out." Samuel had already done all that work. Samuel had put in his time. He had been so game. He had submitted to God's will from the time he was a little child. He had spoken hard truths to people he loved. He had traveled around doing the work that God gave him to do. He'd even enjoyed it. And yes, Krista and everybody, I am metaphorically Samuel, but also you are Samuel. And mostly for the purposes of this sermon, this church is Samuel. And this is not our farewell address. This is nobody's farewell address, as far as we know. But this is where the story starts today. This church began as a fusion of energy and dreams and plans and work of people who were once strangers to each other and might be again. This is me ripping off or alluding to the poet, in case you forgot the beginning of the service. Why wouldn't you? Fair. People who some of you wouldn't recognize if you sat down to dinner together. Life isn't fair. Facts of life. Our poet. Life is often not so good. You'll learn to live with regret. You'll learn to live with respect. But while we live, while we survive, love isn't optional. It's not an extra. It's a requirement for human life and thriving. Community is a necessity for meaning making, especially when meaning's scarce. God's word to Samuel is not a word to any of us in our particular griefs or hurts. It's not one of those cultural nudges to let go of your grief and get over it and brush off the dust. It's not that. It's a promise. It is a promise to us that the shit we are in, have been in, the shit you are in is not the end. This is not our farewell address. As a church, as people part of oppressed communities, as individuals who may legit be exhausted from having already done the work, again, it is a promise that there is more to come, more of what we need, and more of what the world needs. One of the things is that God brought Saul to Samuel. God had told him who to look for, and then led Saul to the prophet's doorstep. But this time, it was going to be different. God assures him there's more to come and then sends him out to look for it, to look for the next king. While the first one was still in the middle of failing miserably, when the first one parenthetically would have killed him if he knew about it. But God said, I have provided what's needed. So Samuel heaves himself up out of the chair, grabs the anointing oil off the shelf, tops up the ritual horn, tightens the cap, and goes again to do what God has asked. He's not done. He has come this far. He has made a life. He has built a career. He has been a source and resource for justice in the world. And there's more to be done. The facts of life. You will learn most from the situations you did not choose. There will be some things that move you more than you can say. You will live. You must be loved. It's not really about you. It's totally about you. I'm Samuel, you're Samuel, we're exhausted, this church is Samuel. We're not done, you're not done. God has made us a promise. This is where the story starts. Today,